Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to another edition of BJ Shay's Geek Nation, Holiday Edition.
Yeah.
I'm Vicky Barcelona, and with me, surprisingly, is BJ Shay.
Unbelievable.
I really don't believe it. Is he a hologram?
It's a holiday miracle. Tiny Tim, I told you it would happen.
I'm so happy.
Oh, we have no food for you and your family.
My food.
The Tiny Tim over there is Joey D. Wow.
Tiny Joe.
Tiny Joe. Ah,
hello.
Well, on today's, I don't know, miracle episode.
Holiday edition.
Holiday edition. We will talk Inside Job Season 2. The Doctor Who special, including Jodie's last episode. A spirited movie review from BJ Shay.
Ah.
Vicky will and BJ will also talk the Guardians X-Men special and the Walking Dead finale. And of course, a holiday geek sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
We're
going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just, you know, search BJ Shay's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app. And you'll find us.
That's where we are. That's where you can find us.
Yes.
Well, about a year ago, BJ and I got together on the old couch around this time, and we watched the first episode of season one of Inside Job.
Yes,
I
we did.
Departed after that episode, but you two kept on, BJ finishing season one, and now season two is over. And Vicky, I have heard you have finished season
two. Of course I have.
How was season two?
So Inside Job was one of my many comfort shows, like always playing in the background as I'm falling asleep, as I'm cooking, as I'm whatever, because I shift through like five different shows at the moment.
I'm so happy because I don't ever really suggest shows that Vicky like thinks are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, she'll go, I'll get to it. And I'm like, oh, here's a show I'm not sure Vicky knows about. And it makes me so happy to think Vicky added it to her collection of comfort.
Well, yeah, because not all adult animated shows are created equal, and not all adult animated shows, even though I love the genre, are not great. Like Farzar on Netflix, that was just I didn't even finish it. It was not good. It is definitely one of my favorites. I'm bummed that I don't feel like more people know about it, because anytime I try to bring it up or do any searches on it, a lot of people don't really get it. But I feel like it's up everyone's alley, whether you are a conspiracy theorist or whether you think conspiracy theories are funny. They mention all of them throughout both seasons. And second season was just as fun. I just felt like some seasons are like, oh, they kind of drop off. You're like, oh, what are they doing with these characters? But you kind of explore a little bit more on the characters. And it's just as ridiculous as it was previously.
Well, BJ, you saw one episode.
Yeah, I did the second season, and it gave me exactly what the first season did. I love Lizzie Kaplan, who plays Reagan Ridley, and of course her dad is Christian Slater, who is Randy Ridley. And this season is fun. It starts off basically her dad, who for the most of last season was just a guy that used to be important in her organization, but is just kind of a loser, just sitting around in his bathrobe doing nothing. Well, season two, he's now in charge of all of it, and she's pissed because like I don't want to work for my dad.
Well. Okay. He stole her promotion. She was supposed to be the one in charge.
That also was a thing that was really funny. It was like, you not only am I taking over, but that was supposed to be for you. Whoops.
It's like you're just too young to really be in this position. So we're going to have it to be to somebody else.
And there's so many great voice actors on this. And so it's very, very fun to see that. And the animation is good. The stories are good. And the fact that both Vicky and I like the show, I think says a lot because, you know, Vicky's a big Big Mouth fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Big Mouth, not as much as she does, but I do.
Human Resources. I love Big Mouth, but Human Resources is much better.
So she likes the, how about that?
Watch Human Resources, people.
So yeah, but it's a fun show. I think it's well done, well written, and boy, you know, you gotta love that when they do anything like that.
You really care for the characters. There are moments of feels, and I think that's pretty awesome too. Like it's still relatable.
So, yeah. Season one or season two, which was better?
Ooh, well,
I've only seen it once so far. Believe it or not, I have not seen it multiple times yet. Because I was trying to get to some other shows and, you know, finish off so I can maybe discuss here on the podcast. But I definitely will be watching it again. It still has that magic of it's new. So I kind of want to say season two is better, but I don't want to answer that yet.
And you're going to hear a familiar voice if you're a Stranger Things 4 fan, Brett Gelman, who's basically,
the conspiracy theory dude.
Yeah, on Stranger Things.
Yes.
He plays a mushroom.
He plays
a mushroom in this show.
Named Mike, so they call him Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I can't watch Stranger Things now without hearing Magic Mike and some of the awful things he says.
Yeah. There's a lot of good people.
And he plays Murray. In Stranger Things, Murray. That's who it is.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. How do I forget Murray's name?
Right.
But I did.
But yeah, definitely check it out. Don't watch it with the kids. There's a lot of swearing.
Are there any plans for a season three yet?
So I'm looking. It doesn't really say anything confirmed. However, when you go into IMDb, it says like continuous. So it says 2021 to continuous. And it looks like when you go through the episode guide, you can pick through season three.
Oh.
But I mean, obviously there's nothing on there yet. But it gives you the option to see season three. Ooh. So that kind of gives me hope.
Awesome. Well, I mean, sounds like you guys definitely want a season three.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Well, all right then. Only time will tell. But I have a feeling good things are coming for you guys in season three.
Yes.
Do-do-do. Moving along. BJ.
Yes, sir.
This is the biggest nerdy thing that I think I'm not into, which is weird because I would have expected to have gotten into it at some point. Hmm. Doctor Who.
Yeah, you tried. This was a real bonding thing with my sister, your sister and me. And we did this over 15 years ago because you and I were the TV people, and I really didn't do anything like that with your sister. And I thought, well, I like sci-fi. What am I going to find? And I thought, well, maybe this would be a show I can watch with her. And so when Doctor Who was rebooted by Russell T. Davies, that's back in 2005. So, yeah, geez, 17 years ago, she and I took to it. And we tried to bring you in, but you were like,
Nah, it's not my jam.
Yeah, but it's been my jam. And then Sarah's fallen off the wagon a little bit. I don't think she was a big fan of the last two Doctors. It just didn't grab her. You know, you got an old guy and you got a woman. And if you're a person that really dug the young-looking men with Matt Smith and David Tennant, yeah, I can understand that. And even Chris Eccleston might have been sexy to you. You're probably not going to dig an old dude or a woman.
Everyone's got their soft spot.
Yeah, I, of course, myself, love Peter Capaldi because he was basically an old guy like me who was crabby. Gotta love a crabby doctor. And I also thought Jodie Whittaker killed it. I really liked her doctor. And finally, this last episode, she gets a little praise. I mean, people have been hating on this series for a while. I don't understand why, because...
Oh, nerds complaining about something that never happens.
Yes, okay, sure. They did some things. Yes, they kind of effed with canon a little bit. Yes, they surely went in a direction that no one ever thought of. And I don't know. I don't hate it as much. I kind of like it, to be honest with you. It makes sense to me logically, because basically what they did is they made you realize, whether or not they want this not to be canon or not, that the Doctor is not actually part of the alien race we thought she was. They did that last year. But the Doctor was a renegade. And so, and the other, you know, the other Time Lords we've seen, whether it be En Masse or the Master or the Rani or all the other Time Lords, they are kind of jerks. But the Doctor was different. And now they finally showed us why the Doctor is not Time Lord, is not from Gallifrey. The Doctor, and, they basically said, hey, the Doctor also was kind of abused and tortured and experimented on by Time Lord so that they could steal her ability to regenerate and live as long as she lives. So this last episode was Jodie's last episode, The Power of the Doctor. It was cool. They had a lot of old other doctors on there, including David Bradley, who has done a job recreating the first Doctor. Peter Davidson, who was the fifth Doctor. Sylvester McCoy, who you remember as Radagast the Brown in The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Sylvester McCoy was a Doctor. Is he the eighth Doctor? Might be. My numbers are all over the place. Maybe he was the seventh Doctor, actually. And Paul McGann was in it, who was the eighth Doctor, who only had a movie. Colin Baker was the sixth Doctor, who was the crabby Doctor before Peter Capaldi's crabby Doctor. So they were all in it. I'm like, all right, this is a really cool episode. They had Sacha Dhawan, who, and I hope I'm saying your name right, Sacha. He plays the Master, who, one of the best Masters ever. And that's tough to do since Michelle Rodriguez played Missy, who was also the Master in Capaldi's run. And I thought she was fantastic.
Michelle Gomez.
No, thank you. Michelle Gomez.
I was like, Michelle Rodriguez? I didn't know this was Fast and the Furious.
Yes. Yes.
She's back.
You know what? Because the Master, they're all family.
Yes.
You know, that's the important thing. So, yeah. So, they all played, I mean, great. And a couple of companions came back. And Sophie Aldred, who plays Ace, and Janet Fielding, who plays Tegan. One from Peter Davidson's era and one from Sylvester McCoy's era.
Now, is this a special, like they do the December episodes?
Last episode, no.
So, it was like a combination
almost. She did three specials this year.
Oh, wow.
That was going to be her last season. So this happened actually, when was the date? It wasn't a December thing because it happened. I haven't been able to talk about it. It happened in October.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's been a while.
Yeah. But this was the end. This was where Jody said goodbye and regenerated. The real shocker is that usually you regenerate into the new doctor, who we know is going to be Chuti Gatwa from Sex Education. So he plays Eric on that show. I was like, okay, let's, because Chuti just kills it on his. I'm like, I would love to see what he does with the doctor. We did not see her regenerate into Chuti. She regenerated into David Tennant.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so you're like, what?
Doesn't Doctor Who usually have a Christmas special?
Yeah. Well, in this current edition, which they turned it into a New Year's special. But yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a holiday special this year. I'm not sure.
That'd be cool if it was David Tennant's holiday special that then leads you to the next season.
Yeah. There's going to be a few David Tennant episodes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And also, the character of Donna Noble, who's played by Catherine Tate, so she's the runaway bride. They're going to get together, and we don't know exactly what's going on. We don't know why she regenerated back into this version. Also, the weird thing is when a doctor regenerates, their body regenerates, and they're usually in the clothing of the last doctor, because the clothing's not part of you. She regenerated completely, clothing at all. Into the David Tennant doctor. So we're like, what is going on? And he did his trademark, what? 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 And I loved what he did is that when she regenerated into him, he did a callback to one of his first lines when he regenerated, when Christopher Eccleston regenerated him. He was like, he swished his tongue around his mouth and he says, I know these teeth. Because the first thing he said before was, new teeth. That's weird.
Interesting. So it sounds like they left you with a cliffhanger for the next season.
Yeah, it's a total cliffhanger. And, of course, I think they're trying to revitalize the franchise. Russell T. Davies is now back as the showrunner. So what does he do? He brings back David Tennant. The ratings were not good. And so, but Disney Plus has also acquired the rights to distribute Doctor Who outside of England, outside of the UK. So they're going to get more budget. Apparently, they're going to get lots more money per episode. So we'll see what this show becomes. And I'm excited they introduced who will be one of the new companions for Chuti. Billy Brown? I don't know the actress.
Billy Bobby Brown?
I know. It's she's got a great English name. I think her name is Ruby Sunday or something like that, the character. Aww. But I forget who the actor is. So I'm excited. I don't know. Like Vicky said, will the nerds be excited? But I think everyone's got to be slightly excited that Tennant's back, at least for nostalgia.
I do have one little thing. You did say Michelle Rodriguez, and you did say, nerds being unhappy. I have to give a shout out to A Drifting Nerd. He sent us a link to the poster for the new Dungeons & Dragons movie, Honor Among Thieves.
Oh, the one with Chris Pine.
Is she in it?
No. Michelle Rodriguez is not Michelle Gomez, my brain. But it is such an awful poster.
Oh, really?
I think I could have done better with my Photoshop app.
Oh, no.
It is just not. It looks like, when you see those movie posters that are from a different country that didn't, like, you just mush it all together. This is the real poster for the new movie. You're like, no, it's not even filmed yet. How can you have the poster? That's what it looks like.
Are you sure they released that?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Whoops.
Yes, they did.
All right.
It is real bad. So go do yourselves a favor and check it out and tell me what you think.
Well, moving on to something that won't make nerds angry, Guardians of the Galaxy Xmas special. We talked a little bit about it, but I cannot stop getting more information on my social medias about this movie. People are loving it.
You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it.
Why not?
I haven't sat, before the holidays is always so busy for us. And, I kind of like to save that pick me up till afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to watch it then. But I hear only good things I think this is a Dax and... oh my gosh.
Mantis
storyline, something involving Peter Quill a little bit, but not really.
Yeah, he's in it a bit, but a little bit. And like all the Guardians are in it for the.
Capacity.
Except for Gamora. But yeah, it's basically, it's a buddy cop movie, if you will, but with Mantis and with Dax.
And I hear the best part is it's like only less than an hour, right?
I believe so.
45 minutes.
See, that's what they should be when they're specials.
Yeah. No, actually, 41 minutes. It's even shorter.
92% on the tomato meter, 82% audience score.
Wow. Yeah.
And it starts off with a little animation. But don't let that fool you. That's just a flashback scene.
Got it.
But I watched it with your mom, and I'm like, well, I hear this is a good movie, and of course I saw all the trailers, and all the trailers were live action. We start the movie, and it starts with animation, and I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, I'm going, no, it's not supposed to be animated. I don't understand what's going on.
We'll make it.
It's a flashback scene that does, so the movie will be live action.
Awesome. What'd you guys think of it?
It is so cute. It's so sweet.
It is a cute movie. It's what Spirited should have thought about.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're going to talk about that after.
I mean, there was a musical scene by the old 97s, I believe the band is, and they're in...
Great new Christmas song is all I'm saying. Add it to your Christmas list.
The whole soundtrack and stuff. It's just so many feels. I feel like this is going to have to be the new classic. Because I feel like Elf, when it came out, nobody knew that was going to be a classic Christmas movie. You never know when these come out. You think of, what is it, The Miracle on 34th Street or whatever, Charlie Brown Christmas. I feel like this is going to be
a new
classic.
Wow. Okay, that's big praise right there.
Uh-huh. Disney knocking it out of the park. I mean, it's hard to do a good Marvel Xmas story, really.
Have they ever done that?
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think this might be the first like live action.
I like that Star Wars holiday thing they did last year.
Was it Lego?
It was a Lego, Lego Star Wars holiday thing was pretty good. But that obviously isn't live action or Marvel.
Nope.
Well, I mean, that's...
Same company, pretty much everything.
Sounds like I got something to do later, but we did mention Spirited, which is a movie containing...
Yeah,
holidays
and a lot of singing, and one of our favorite actors, Ryan Reynolds, and one of my other, used to be favorite actors, Will Ferrell. It's a musical.
Yeah.
And it's...
Too musical, apparently.
Causing BJ pain.
Yeah. Just a heads up, 70% tomato meter, 83% audience score.
For Guardians?
For Spirited.
Oh, wow. That's better than I would have thought.
I think that I am in the minority, obviously, with this movie. The fact that people like this as much as they did, I guess I just don't like musicals because, it was too much for me. It took me out of the movie, and it wasn't It wasn't great singing. I'm sorry. I just, I have seen great singing over my life in musicals. The performance numbers, I'll tell you this. It is hard on TV to watch a musical for me. I'd rather be live watching it. You get so much more watching something perform musically on stage. It doesn't translate well for me on television, which is why if you do as much as you would do on a Broadway production, it just falls flat for me. I think this my tolerance for musical songs on TV is much lower than if I were seeing it live.
I haven't seen the movie, but Vicky did show me the video of Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell singing together for a funny little
TikTok. And that was fun.
And that was funny. So I saw where they were going with it. But like you said, they have to hold almost 90 minutes of singing. And you're saying it did not happen.
Oh, the movie's 2 hours.
In 7 minutes.
Yeah. And you said there's 90 minutes of singing in it? Is that what it is?
Well, I would assume a musical is mostly singing, so it's probably somewhere around there.
I would love to time that. I felt like it was a great story. There was some funny moments, some good acting. There was a story part in it that I just felt like I didn't think there was any charisma between two characters they were trying to get romantic with. There was just no charisma there. I just didn't feel like, even though they were looking like they wanted to like each other on screen, I wasn't buying it. I didn't think it just didn't go for me. And I don't know. Maybe Will Ferrell just isn't really good at pulling off the part of looking like he can be in love with somebody. I just don't like, I don't know, Will,
oh,
I don't.
No.
Yeah, it's like, Will, I don't, I just, I don't know. I just don't buy it from you, buddy. And Octavia Spencer just looked out of place. And maybe it was because the character to me, maybe because I just think Octavia Spencer would never be that person. I give her too much credit as too much of a good actor. Like, she wouldn't be this way. Because she's Octavia Spencer, and Octavia Spencer is just too good to do these stupid things. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, I did like Eight Crazy Nights, which was almost like an animated musical that Adam Sandler did that was supposed to be funny. But I think that really did okay because it was animated. So you kind of got that, disbelief, and you had Adam writing jokes, essentially, for it. The last real musical that I watched was Tick, Tick, Boom with Andrew Garfield. And that worked, in my opinion, because it was serious. Like you said, they could sing. They had a bunch of chops. I knew the actors. It's hard watching two comedians almost try to be serious in the songs when really you just kind of want them to be funny.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds was okay. I'm not going to say he sang badly, but there were times where I'm like, wow, the auto-tune, Wilf, I don't know. I'm not here. I'm out.
Well, you know, we tried. I mean, I can't say I'm going to watch it. It is free, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. If they took if they trimmed 40 minutes from this movie, I probably would have liked it. I would have been like, okay, but 2 hours is just painful when you realize, my God, I don't care about this singing. You're walking in a park. It's not even that. Like, there's some musical numbers with great dancers and 1,000 people. That's okay. But two people walking in a park singing, I want to be loved to you. I wish I could be loved. I'm like, no, I don't care. You're making me wait.
Vicky, I think we can both agree. We need BJ the Musical to hurry up and get on to theaters right now. I
mean, I'm here for it.
But you know what? We're in the minority because 70% of the critics thought it was good and 80% of the folks. So don't listen to us, I guess.
Yeah, when you like the actors and you're getting some for free, you know.
Yeah.
Hard to disappoint people.
I think the critics and the people are insane.
Well, if you don't want to watch Spirited, you can watch a finale of a show that I can't believe is still on TV or was still on TV and that apparently had a million spinoff shows somehow. I stopped in season two. It got 11 gajillion seasons. The zombies are still probably walking. Yes, that is The Walking Dead.
Yeah, a little late on this one myself. I realize it ended in November, but I wanted to talk about it because it was the last episode. Really not the last episode.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I mean, they ended a story arc, which was cool. It was a good story arc. It's a typical Walking Dead story arc where they basically had to, you know, the society looked like it was a great society to live in with zombies and people figured out how to be cool. But really, they weren't cool, which is what The Walking Dead does best. It shows you that really the true enemy, the true threat of the show was never the zombies. It's always the humans.
Ah, the humans.
Yeah. And so they did that well. And I think they did it was a great send off. But yes, we're going to get miniseries with Maggie and Negan. And that's a big deal because Negan killed her boy, her man that she loved. So the fact that story arc has been together and how those two exist with each other, the last episode, the finale, it was cool as Maggie finally was able to tell Negan the best she could be with him, considering that all those years ago he killed her husband, basically. And I thought that was done well. So, you know, chops to them. And they're going to get a miniseries. We're going to see what happens. I think they're going to go to New York. So we're going to see zombies in a big city. I am excited for that.
Okay. Well, hey, if they got you all hooked on more zombies.
But also, we're going to see Rick. And you remember Rick.
Didn't he die?
Yeah, no, he didn't die. People thought he might have died, but okay. He didn't die. So Rick is still alive, but he was basically kidnapped by some people that nobody knew he was kidnapped. Then Michonne went out to look for him maybe two or three seasons ago in The Walking Dead. We weren't sure if she was still alive. Well, we found out she's still alive. Rick is still alive. And they are just going to have to find out how to hook up, as it were.
Have they figured out how to beat the zombies yet? They got 11 seasons.
Well, the zombies have now learned how to open doors and climb.
Oh, so boy. That's
something that was at least, maybe in some of the other Walking Dead shows this was shown, but this was shown for the first time for us this season and last season of the regular Walking Dead. So yeah, there's still Fear the Walking Dead. Then there's another Walking Dead show. I don't know, maybe
Crawling Dead.
Gymnasts of the Walking Dead. Yeah, I don't know. And then there's going to be this, and then Daryl's getting a miniseries. Because Daryl's now...
From The Office?
Yeah, Daryl Dixon. That would be great if it was Daryl from The Office. That'd be fantastic. But yeah, so Daryl Dixon hops on his motorcycle, says, see you, Carol. Carol's like, you're my best friend. I don't know, but I'm Daryl and I got to go off on my own. And get my own series. So he's on his motorcycle and he's exploring stuff.
Hey.
And he's going to get his own series. So there's three. There you go. The Rick and Michonne, the Negan and the Maggie, and the Daryl. All three series sometime. And I'll watch them all.
He's a lone man on a motorcycle in a world full of zombies.
That's what he is, man. And he's doing it on his own because, yeah, some reason doing it with one person's better than even though every episode, a whole group of people were having a hard time surviving. But Daryl's like, oh, I can do it on my own.
A loud-ass motorcycle trying to be...
Mm. Yeah, that's going to work.
Stealthy.
Yeah.
Well, that's three spinoffs. Are you going to watch them?
Yes.
Well, they got him.
I won't watch Fear the Walking Dead. They lost me. And they have Morgan, who was I always loved that character from the original Walking Dead. They got some good actors in the other one. I tried. I was like you, Joe. I was like, there's too many zombies. Too many zombies, not enough time. So I won't watch Fear, but I will watch the three miniseries that they have coming out with Daryl and the guys.
Well, I'm excited to see if they hold up to the original, but until then, we have to get to...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, it's the holidays.
Yes, and you are probably shopping or should be shopping.
I have so many packages.
Have you opened them?
No.
And wrapped them? Nope.
I have not wrapped. That is probably my least favorite thing about the holidays. I have to wrap so many presents.
This is when you call your buddy Vicky and she will come over. Give her a beverage and she will wrap everything very nicely.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Actually, I really do like wrapping presents.
Really?
Well, Vicky, I might have to call you.
Yeah.
I am, oh my gosh, you should see what happens to my tape dispenser. Yes. You know when you're ripping the little tape off and it gets stuck and then it sticks to itself and then you got to peel it back again? Oh my God.
So what you're saying is if I sit you there and like tell you your job is to rip pieces of tape off and hand them to me, that's not going to be
rage.
A good thing? Nope, okay.
Rage. Cutting scissors or cutting wrapping paper with scissors, rage. Folding things, rage.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so, especially if you watch the videos on how to wrap.
Oh, there are videos for this?
Like for fun, like wrapping, or if you cut a piece of paper too short and you need to fit your package, there's tricks to it.
Oh, my.
If you thought I hated the Lord of the Rings series, you never saw a package, or what do you call it, Christmas wrapping with Joey Deese.
I just think it's a brother thing. My brother can't wrap for crap.
Maybe. It might be genetic. BJ, do you like wrapping gifts?
I mean, I do it.
That's a no.
Yeah. And by the way, I met my 31-year-old brother, not my 4-year-old brother.
Oh, your 4-year-old brother's great. He's really great.
He's really great. He just opens it up again. But the Nerdist actually has come out with multiple like holiday-themed guides, whether it's like 10 great graphic novels that make great gifts for kids, or a guide to holiday-themed pop culture gifts, or stuff like that. And so there was one that they did do. It's the Holiday Gift Guide for the Tabletop Gamer.
Hey, that's me.
I should pay attention. Okay, go.
I will say there are quite a few of RPGs on here, which I don't really think is your guys' jam typically.
I don't usually do a lot of RPGs.
But there are a few that are not, or just either gifts in general. But I will kind of go through them and see if you guys have heard of some of these.
Hey.
There is one. It is an RPG starter set. It's called Animal Adventures.
Oh.
No, yes, no.
I don't know.
It is from Steamforged Games. It's a Persian cat warlock, a Labrador fighter. What else do we have to say? Animal Adventures from Steamforged Games is a 5e supplement that is ideal for kids or casual players new to the Dungeons & Dragons. Actually, my roomie just got her son a book on Dungeons & Dragons for, like, beginners.
So
start them young.
So 5th edition is what they're saying. All right. Mm-hmm.
I call it the elephant.
There needs to be an elephant, but some of the pictures, the dogs and the cats on here are pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be going down that road. No. Josh right now from the Omega Gamers and the BGA Board Game Alliance has got me into Oathsworn, which is an RPG game, but you have a dungeon master, plus there are voice actors that narrate the thing.
Okay.
And that Oathsworn is, we're having a lot of fun with that. Really, really love that game. I like it better than Gloomhaven. So there.
Boom.
Here is another gift for your tabletop gaming friends. It is called Arcadia. What is this? Well, MCDM Productions knocks it out of the park every month. They come out with a digital magazine called Arcadia and invite some of the TTRPG community's best and brightest talent to contribute. So the cover art alone is worth every penny, and inside you'll find D&D 5e adventures, subclasses, NPCs, and more incredible campaign content. So you can definitely do a digital gift card for one of your... board game buddies.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of folks that love the D&D world, so that's another great gift for them.
As well as there is campaign case terrain for the, you know, D&D person in your life.
Yeah, people do like that. Those dungeon masters love throwing the good terrain out.
All right, so this is another, it's an indie TTRPG. And now I don't remember what TT is before the
tabletop.
RPG. Tabletop. Okay, that is what that is.
Like it should be.
Right? But it's called... Crescendo of Violence.
Oh.
I kind of like that name. But it's a neon noir role-playing game.
Oh, all right.
So I had to look into it because I'm like, this looks really pretty. But it's 2093 Neo New York, a dystopian technological marvel where concrete high-rises brim with holographic neon as gilded mob bosses, flashy CEOs, and famous vid stars all strive to consolidate their power over the masses. And while the rain reflects the neon, it never washes away the grime and filth of the streets.
Yeah.
So welcome to a world of synth jazz and cybernetics where the status quo grinds down the hardworking man and vat-gown clone alike, or grown clone alike. So this seems all like a gangster meets, what is that one?
Feels like a little cyberpunky.
Cyberpunk, but I was. It's the one with Harrison Ford.
Oh, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, ooh. But the new one, the 19. Was it Blade Runner?
Blade Runner 2047, maybe
something like that.
42.
Yeah, 20 something like that.
Something like
I'm
that.
I'm gonna check.
Yeah, check it out.
But or
is it 2402? It's Blade
2049. We're all wrong.
Oh, 2420. Oh, so I was closest though.
Yeah.
I win the Price is Right.
Woo!
Dang. It was 2049?
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason I watched the little movie that 2 years before that where they were thinking about it.
Skipping through to one of these, this is kind of cool. It is a D&D thing, but perform an insight check on yourself. Is it possible with How to Be More D&D by Kat Kruger, whether you're buying this handy for your handy little tome for yourself, your friend, or your Secret Santa, every kind of reader can benefit from adding more adventure to their lives. Personality quizzes based on character classes, advice for navigating the difficult terrain of real life, gorgeous art, and more make this book one to pick up again and again.
Ooh, that's interesting. I know there's some folks I've seen at conventions that use gaming to basically help you in the behavioral science department. That's
this,
interesting.
This
all
might
right.
be something to check out, especially if you have a D&D nerd in your life. They do have one. I haven't played any of these. I've seen them. The art's pretty fun. It's called Marvel Dice Throne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you had a chance to play this one?
I have not played it, but I've seen it.
The OP games. It's if you don't like dice games, this is not going to be up your alley.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Dice Throne games, because I think they were just regular, there was regular Dice Throne that didn't have any IP established, mm-hmm. and then they were able to get Marvel. It's basically, it's like Yahtzee with a mm-hmm. theme, but it's really cool.
And that's kind of what this is. You get to pit your favorite characters, Marvel characters, against each other. It does give a lot of information. It's kind of a pricey game, though. It's like $100.
Whoops. Well, you know, Marvel is, you got to pay for that IP.
That's the battle chest. So it looks like that is the big version with
well,
your different heroes.
That'd be a nice gift to get somebody. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, if you like Yahtzee, this turns it on its ear. Get to roll a lot of dice. You know, you have a lot of abilities that you get to unlock and do stuff. At least I remember from the original Dice Throne game that I played.
These next two games I'm very intrigued by. One of them being Phantom Inc. So it's a party game perfect for that one friend who always keeps a Ouija board in their closet, because we all have one of those friends.
Okay.
The beautifully thematic deduction game is for 4 to 8 players divided into two teams.
Ooh.
One player is the spirit and the other are the mediums. And the spirit shares clues about a secret object to the mediums and hopes that one will guess it. Use as few letters as possible to discover the secret object and your team wins.
Oh, that's interesting. There's been a lot of games that are like that, where you've got to sort of figure it out as a team.
I like party games.
I do, too. This other one, we all have played Pandemic, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
We all like when they do different variations of games we like. Like, for example, I don't think I'll ever play Catan again, but I really enjoyed Star Trek Catan, and I would play that again. How about Star Wars The Clone Wars, a Pandemic system game? I had no idea this existed.
Yeah, I don't think I know about this either.
It is basically Pandemic Star Wars.
Wow.
I kind of like this.
I wonder if it's relatively new, because I have not heard of this.
So it says the tabletop game takes Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, Yoda, and more to key locations in the Clone Wars conflict, and they'll face your favorite prequel villains in battles to reclaim the planet from their control. Missions are named after iconic episodes of the Clone Wars, a delightful detail for longtime fans of the animated series.
Yeah, according to Amazon, it was released this year.
All right, there you go. Yeah,
surprise. I had no idea about this, because that looks kind of fun, and I'm totally down to play it if anybody ever has it.
There you go.
BJ's a Sith.
And it's got 7.8 on BGG, so.
That ain't bad.
1 to 5 players, by the way. And then another one.
And if you know Pandemic and you like that whole system, I'm sure it's not too far off of it.
Huge fan, because
I mean, I played it and saw what it does and said, okay, you know, and I was for a while, but then I was like, okay. You know, it's a game that sometimes, you know, it can be the alpha player that can tell everybody
yep,
what to do.
That's why.
And you're like, okay, well, and any cooperative game is always tough unless they make it in such a way that people can't tell you what to do, because they have to take care of their own character mm-hmm. so much. They couldn't tell you what to do with yours. And therefore the discussion is just based like, what would be good for the group? Another reason why I like Oathsworn, it's the same thing. Nobody can tell me what to do with my character, though. So we have discussions about what do you think we should do as a group? And, you know, so, but who knows? Maybe they've solved some of that with this Star Wars Pandemic.
So I'm going to post this link so you can see all the different gift guides they have, because they have one for pretty much anyone. If you're a science nerd, if
yep.
you are a, like, the creepy stuff, they have one for you, too.
Oh, Joe, you're creepy.
Yes, I am.
But we hope you have a wonderful holiday and stay nerdy.